Welcome to the Campus Bible Study Bible Bites. On Tuesdays, we answer a question or two from Monday's podcast. On Wednesday to Friday, we read a Bible passage and briefly engage with it in preparation for next Monday's podcast.
Today's reading comes from Judges chapter 2. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years, and they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnathis, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them, and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in terrible distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So the Lord left those nations, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua.
Carl, is Daniel showing us Christians how to repent?
Repentance is an amazing theme in this chapter, isn't it? It's beautiful. And it's interesting, throughout the whole Old Testament, we often see the need for repentance in God's people because we unfortunately see a lot of God's people rebelling against God. And then we see God judging their rebellion, usually through the punishment of invading enemies. And then the appropriate response when the enemies have invaded, when the punishment has been enacted, the appropriate response for God's people is always repentance. And then after repentance, God in his kindness and mercy would often save his penitent people. But the problem of the whole Old Testament is that God's people kept cycling through this process of rebellion, judgment, repentance, salvation, and then back to rebellion, judgment, repentance, salvation. And the book of Judges is built around this cycle. You see it again and again in the book of Judges, and particularly you see a microcosm of it in Judges chapter 2. So it's worth having a look there if you'd like to check that out a bit more. But one of the things I want us to see is that in Jesus, we finally have a break to the cycle. And the reason for the cycle in the Old Testament was because God's people's hearts were always going astray. God's people had a heart problem that trapped them in this cycle. Their hearts kept turning away from God. Their hearts were rebellious and stubborn. That's why the promises of Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36 are so significant. They're often called the New Covenant promises. Let me just read to you from a little bit of Ezekiel 36, from verses 24 to 27, to remind you of these New Covenant promises to God's people. God says, "I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules." Can you see how God promises to fix this heart problem? He promises a new heart and the help of his spirit living in his people to help them desire to obey his commands. Jesus brings this promise to fulfillment not just by achieving once for all forgiveness for his people at the cross, but also by pouring out his Holy Spirit on his people. You can see this in Acts chapter 2, where we are taught that after his resurrection, Jesus, the great Messiah King, ascends to take the throne in heaven, Daniel 7 style. And then as the great ascended king, he gives his subjects the gift of his spirit. So when we put our trust in Jesus as our king and saviour, he not only gives us complete forgiveness for our sin, he also gives us this heart-changing spirit to work within us, to live within us, to lead us to love obeying God. So for the Christian, repentance is now a once-for-all activity and an everyday activity. It's weird, it's both, isn't it? You see, we start the Christian life through once-for-all repentance and faith, and we receive complete forgiveness there and then. But this side of heaven, we still live in what the Apostle Paul calls this fallen flesh, which struggles to obey God. Christians don't lose our forgiveness and need to obtain it again. But when we disobey our Lord, we actually desire to repent. We want him to grow us and change us. We want to live to please him. That's the work of his spirit in us as we're reading his word. So, if you're a believer in Jesus, as an ongoingly forgiven sinner, you can repent daily of your failure to live as your King desires. But you repent in the security of knowing that you have ongoing forgiveness through the death of Jesus. One of the things I have found myself saying a lot lately is that it is a privilege to repent. I think a lot of people think that repentance is a weak, bad thing to do. I want to say no way, it's the complete opposite. Repentance is a wonderful privilege. So enjoy the privilege and keep persevering in Christ.
Thanks for downloading and listening to this podcast. Please make sure you subscribe on iTunes to automatically download our most recent podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Campus Bible Study, you can visit our website, campusbiblestudy.org.